Episode 50. Get out of here, Satan. What up, everybody? Another special night in the studio. Got my boy Riley in the building. Got Chris in the building. About to get spiritual. So before we get into it, let's go ahead and just pray. Welcome the Holy Spirit into this time and ask Him to lead. Dear God, we thank You so much for just allowing us to be here in Your presence, God, speaking on Your holy name, God. And I just pray that this time would be to the glory of Your kingdom. I pray that that would be our true heart's desires to glorify Your name with the topic that You have put on our heart, God. And I pray that this topic would just pour into the hearts of those listening, God, that they would just know the truth, how loved they are, how chosen they are, and how protected they are by Your holy name, God. I pray that the Holy Spirit would fill us and lead this time, God. And Lord, we just ask Thy will to be done. In Your all-binding name we pray. Amen.
Amen.
All right. Tell us a little something about yourself, Riley.
What's up? What's up, Chris? What's up, Wally? Thanks for having me here.
Yes, sir.
You guys rock. Love listening to you guys' podcasts every week. Not every week, but as often as I can.
Yes, sir. In honesty. Yeah, keep it real.
Yeah, thanks for having me. I come from California. I got a family. I got five brothers and sisters. We're all born in California. My dad's been a pastor my whole life, so we moved around a lot. And we came to Florida about 5 years ago. I think I was probably converted, probably middle school. I remember the first time when I was in seventh grade, my friends were kind of starting to get goofy. We were all in the church, but some of them were making some bad decisions. And that was really the first time in my life I ever chose for myself to make decisions for the Lord and not for the world. Getting to high school, I was in Illinois, in Chicago County. It was cool. I made some good buddies. And, we mostly stayed out of trouble. Like, we didn't. I mean, the most rebellious thing we would do was, like, smoke cigars, maybe trespass a little bit. Yeah. But I went off to college. I had, like, a full-ride scholarship for ROTC for the Army, and it was cool. I got there. My cousin was there with me. He's my best friend. And, just being off my own for the first time, I wasn't really in the Word. I mean, in high school, I would try to be honest with, like, my small group leaders and stuff. Like, hey, you know, I'm kind of struggling with this. And I was a pastor's kid, you know, and I stayed out of trouble, and they'd be like, oh, wow, like, Riley, you're so holy. Look at him, you know, he's feeling convicted about this. Yeah. I'm like, no, listen to me, like, I'm struggling. They're like, oh, dude, we all need to be like Riley. Oh. And so, I went off to school, and I stayed out of trouble, but I didn't go to class. I was super lonely. I didn't make any friends. I played a bunch of video games. Didn't do anything, like, super crazy. But like life altering, but I just was living for myself, and I lost my scholarship. It was gone, so I didn't have to pay for anything when I was there, and so I lost all that. And my family's moving to Florida, and I just had to come with them, and that was kind of tough. Things with my family weren't good because I was not honoring the Lord, and they, like, you can't hide that stuff, you know.
Yeah.
So I came with them, got plugged in here. Yeah. So it's really the last 5 years, he's been working. The last 3 years he's been working, and then in this last year he's really been maturing me and growing me in my understanding of the scriptures, my love for the church, my commitment to him, and all those things. So
praise God, bro. That's fire.
Yeah. Bro, you want to, before we get started, I just want to, so recently I've been hearing a lot on, like, podcasts and messages and stuff, and just because, you know, you're obviously, your dad's a pastor and stuff. Yeah. Right, a lot of people will say, like, I was living in my parents' faith, but my own true faith.
Yeah.
So when you say you were converted in middle school, like, you had that true, like, love for Jesus, you know what I'm saying? Was that the moment it wasn't anymore your parents' faith, you know what I mean?
Yeah. Yeah, for sure. I mean, I was making decisions, like, my friends were just, man. Like, even you tell people in the world about the stuff they're doing, you're like, what? Like, that's weird. And so I was making decisions for the Lord. But yeah, I mean, my parents protected me, you know, like, they weren't gonna let me go out with the wrong kind of people in Chicago County, you know, like, they weren't gonna, like,
shot rock.
Rolling ghettos.
Yes, sir.
But yeah, I mean, they knew what was going on. They protected me. Yeah. So when I went out on my own, it was just kind of, I had to face that for myself. Yeah. And yeah, grateful for God's work in my life. Grateful for my family's role in that, because, yeah, I mean, they've stood with me. And they've helped me out along the way, so. Yeah, I mean, my dad being a pastor, I mean, I was kind of always expectation. Yeah. You know, like, oh, you're the pastor's kid. You're going to be a pastor. I was like, no. And that wasn't anything about my dad. Like, I love my dad. I respect my dad. He's amazing. But
Pastor Kurt is the man.
Yeah, I only met him one time, dude. But cool dude, tall dude, bro.
Yeah. Tall,
not
yeah,
many
dude.
People were tall. Nah, yeah. So I was like, okay.
Yeah, not
dude,
many
we were
people.
Praying with him. It was like four of us, bro. We were praying with him. That was really when I realized how tall he was, because you're so close when you pray, dude. I was like, bro. Yeah.
No, but I'm sure that's such a cool experience, you know what I'm saying? I'm sure it came with a lot of hardship, for sure, yeah. Having that expectation put on you and stuff. And praise God, bro, that you're still here and you're so devoted, you know what I'm saying, to the Lord, even though, you know what I'm saying, like, it could, because a lot of times it goes the opposite way, like, people get it forced down their throat for so long that they just turn and run, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
Like, all by God's grace, His just infinite wisdom, mm-hmm. His plan for, you know what I'm saying, sure, you had your slip-ups and your mess-ups, but, mm-hmm. dude, you're still walking that line, bro, and that's such a blessing.
Yeah, I want to say something. People ask me all the time, like, oh, pastor's kids, like, they're always, like, the worst kind of kids.
Yeah,
That's probably a lot of people's experience, to be honest. Mm. It's probably true. But I think that's, I want to speak on that because people ask me that a lot. Mm. But
people, dude, because they're not, like, your family, bro. Like, bro, we were joking about that yesterday. Uh-huh. Me and AJ, and we were like, because we're at your house, and your little brother, he did that chalkboard thing. Yeah. And he was like, bro, he's so mature. Like, Dax is so mature. I'm like, bro, he is. He's so smart. And I'm like, so is Riley. I was like, bro, they're all really, like, on point. And I was like, and then, like, we kept talking. We're like, I having you guys up. And I was like, but everyone's got their problems. And then we paused for, like, 5 seconds. I was like, except this family. Nah, we're joking, bro.
I think the reason pastor's kids get such a bad rap is because imagine, like, you see your dad preaching out in front of everybody.
Yeah.
And then your dad comes home and it's not the same.
Yeah.
You know, he's preaching some to other people and he's not living it. I think that's why that level of hypocrisy. I mean, if you want to turn someone away from the Lord, we're going to talk about influence here. If you want to turn someone away from the Lord, bro, say something and then act a different way.
Yeah.
And so the reason that my family is like that, and we're not perfect. You know, we're not a perfect
family.
About it. We know we're not a perfect family.
Yeah, yeah, no,
but the reason that my siblings and I were... It's obviously the Lord and His grace, but my parents' role in that was preaching something out there. My dad, my mom, my dad's a preacher, my mom supporting my dad out there in the ministry, and then seeing them live that consistently in life.
Dude.
And just that's something that. So now when people ask me to be a pastor, I'm like, I don't know, maybe.
Bro, and we're about to get into influence, but I just want to say, like, that was one thing when I talked with you, because when I first came to the Grove, that was like, you're one of, like, the first people I talked with, and, like, my fear has always been that is, like, you know, I think it's really easy for people at church to be very a certain way, you know, but it's, like, when you were, like, you know, he really, like, how he is here is, like, how he lives his life, and hearing that from you, I was, like, wow, this is really a man that I could, like, follow and who I can trust when he's giving me, like, you know, if I were to ever ask him a question or ever tell him a conviction, I know that he wouldn't lead me in the wrong direction, so it's, like, bro, really... That's been one of my prayers, is how grateful I am to have found, you know, really leaders, you know, because that's really what it is at the Grove, is like we have leaders who are really, you know, their whole life is devoted to the Lord, and you can really see that. But so anyway, that's a little bit into Riley, which that was good. So today or tonight, I guess, we're going to be talking about influence and you know, how to be an influence with people who are still in the world, who are of the world, actually, not just in the world, but of the world, you know, discipleship and evangelism, you know, because I think me and Wally have talked about this. We talked about it a little bit, actually, last week on the podcast, so I was excited when Riley said this is, you know, the topic he wants to bring, especially because he had spoke on it actually twice. I've heard him speak on it before, so I think he's the good candidate to definitely go deeper into this. But me and Wally have talked before about we don't want to be, you know, we don't want to blend in. Like, we don't want to blend in with people as far as, like, they're talking sin, and then we're just also there with them, also being in that sin. Yeah. But we also don't want to, you know, pull ourselves away from them because we're always, you know, we're always, like, so, like, legalistic or, like, to the word and, like, you know, like, because it's something Riley said actually before, is, like, you can't just walk away every single time someone's having a sinful conversation or, you know, maybe even, well, I guess if you're doing something pretty sinful, usually you can walk away, right? But there's a lot of conversations that happen throughout the day, and so it's, like, we're really going to go into that. Like, how can we be good stewards of God, right? Would that be the right word? What does steward mean?
Yeah, it's like,
yeah, steward solid. That's a solid. All
right.
It's like you don't own it, but it's your responsibility.
Yeah. Okay. Responsibility. Yeah. Yeah. So stewards for God, right? Like handing, you know, going into that gospel basically with people, but also at the same time not, because you'll just push people away. It's going to be really difficult to do if you really set your, if you're so holier than thou, I would say, would be the word, like the righteous man who's just, I'm better than you because I have Christ, and now obviously that's going to push people off. Yeah,
I think it's a big thing to not condemn them or judge them, but to love God so much that you can see past the sin they're living in and love them for who God sees them as. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
Like, I think that's the huge part about when you're in those situations, you know what I mean? Like, because a lot of times I'll be with people and I completely disagree with everything they're doing, everything they're saying, right?
Yeah.
But, it, like you're saying, it would be so wrong of me to be like, how dare you? You know what I'm saying? And it would do, it would do worse, like less for the kingdom than me just not saying anything. You know what I'm saying? So I think that's part of the stewarding is knowing when to speak and what to speak, and also more importantly, when to just be quiet.
Because
that time of quiet can do a lot.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying?
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And so my question for you, Riley, so when you discussed this with us, you went into it, and so I'd say definitely like give a breakdown of I liked your little equation too. I don't know if you're gonna bring that one in, but that was good. But then also, like, I like the example you gave. I like the example you gave of you in the military. I'm sure you have other examples as well.
Yeah.
Just so people can like truly see, like, you know, that's what this looks like in practical application. That's always helpful for me.
Yeah. Yeah, for sure. I spoke a couple weeks ago. That was my first time, really. I haven't taught much or spoke much, but they asked me what I wanted to teach on, and that's something I've been learning and growing in. Yeah, you called it an equation, Chris. It's funny. I made a joke when I was teaching. I was like, I'm calling this an equation, but that makes me sound kind of stuck up. Like,
yeah, bro, it's fire, dude.
Like I'm some like genius who fabricated this thing or whatever. But that's
the algorithm, bro.
Yeah,
algorithm.
Yeah. But I think that's a good word for it. It's like this equation, and so I have two things that equal. So we're trying to be influential for Christ. We're trying to know, how do we live in the world? We were talking about this earlier, John 17. How do we live in the world but not be of the world? And that's what influence is. And so I said convictional living plus winsomeness equals influence. So that first word is convictional living. I think that has to be first. Before you try to be winsome and try to like win people over, you have to be convinced. 2 Corinthians 5 right here. I didn't even mean to come to this, but it says in verse 9.
It was
nine,
ready to go,
10.
Bro.
Yeah.
Yes, sir.
It says, we must all appear before the judgment seat of Christ so that each one may receive what is due for what he has done in the body, whether good or evil. So we're going to stand before God one day. Whether it's good or evil, we're going to have to give an answer for why we did what we did. And so we got to live by conviction. And so some people, they'll say that I met Jesus or I had this experience or something like that, and now their lives don't look the same. And if we're going to be influential for Christ, we have to be. I mean, imagine someone, this is another example I said, what if someone walks up to you and you're like in the world, you know, just like a normal person living in the world, and you're talking the kind of way about girls or about partying or something, and this dude walks up and he's like just joining you, he's like egging you on, like joining in with you, and he sounds the same. And then like he just like randomly is like, oh, do you guys believe in God? Right. Tries to preach the gospel to you. And it's like, bro, what? Like,
right,
why would
right
I listen
there
to
with
you?
Us. Yeah, dude.
Why would I listen to you right now?
Crazy.
Exactly. Crazy. And so we have to live with conviction. And so conviction is, I'm going to stand before God one day. So I need to know, I need to have a plan for what I'm going to do. And so that's the kind of things we're talking about is when conversation starts to get sideways. I don't think there's like one for sure answer of like, if someone like if someone says a bad word, you know, like someone starts cursing or they're like gossiping about somebody else, you know,
right?
Like, I'm not gonna be like, hey, you need to stop that, that's a sin.
Yeah.
Or like, you know, I'm a Christian, you can't say that. Like, that's not the answer,
right?
But we also know the answer isn't also to just like join in with them and speak in the same kind of way. If that's gossip or slander, whatever that is, like, we don't just join in with them. So there's like this middle area, and that's the importance of convictional living, is people need to establish for themselves, like,
yeah,
like, what can I handle? For some people, it's going to look different than others. Like, if you struggle with certain thing, like, maybe you struggle with lust or pornography. Someone's talking about a woman in a way that's not good. Maybe for you, that means, like, you just got to leave.
Yeah.
You have to go. maybe there's like there's like a certain line in the conversation where you're like, I can hang in for a little bit here, because you're not trying to like burn this bridge, you know? You're not trying to be the weird guy. So that's the importance of convictional living. The reason I put that first is because once you got some for us?
Yeah, I got, well, just, I don't want to cut you off.
No, share it, bro. Come on.
Okay. Just how you're talking, I came to James 3, how you're talking about the convictional living, right? Mm-hmm. And James, it really talks a lot about our faith and how our faith is shown, you know what I mean? And with what you're talking about, I come to James 3, verse 9, and it says, with the tongue we praise our Lord and Father, and with it we curse human beings who have been made in God's likeness. Out of the same mouth come praise and cursing. My brothers and sisters, this should not be. Can both fresh water and salt water flow from the same spring? My brothers and sisters, can a fig tree bear olives or a grapevine bear figs? Neither can a salt spring produce fresh water. So, like you're talking about, that's not, like, if we're over here, like, partaking in these conversations, feeding the fire, fueling the fire, right? Oh yeah, that shorty, she bad. Oh, this isn't that. But then we're like, but
have you heard about your Lord and Savior Jesus Christ?
But last week in Bible study, we learned so and so. It's gonna send a mixed message to people who don't even, they haven't experienced the truth yet. You know what I'm saying? So then we're gonna skew that.
Well, I think even to the point of like, if they're like, they actually are like, dude, I need to come to Christ. And you're the representation, and that's how you live the same way that they do, then they could just come in and just be like, oh, I did my part. You know what I mean?
You
like,
set a bad example.
Yeah.
You set the bar real low, honestly. You know what I'm saying?
And
so then we've talked about this also before, is the, in James 4, is the idea of the, where's that? Oh, is it James 4? Where was I just at? It talks about the demonic, like, even the demons believe in Jesus.
Oh, James 2.
Yeah.
Is that James 2?
Yeah. I think it's in the end around verse 20.
Oh, hold on. This, okay.
Also, James talks about, he says, be quick to listen, slow to speak, slow to anger. Mm-hmm. It's another speech thing.
Okay. Show me your faith without deeds, and I show you my faith by my deeds. You believe that there is one God, good. Even the demons believe that and shudder. Mm-hmm. So, I guess on the idea of what you're talking about, convictional living, we could also talk about the idea of the transformational faith, you know what I'm saying? Right. Because the faith, when we say we believe in Jesus, right, and we're marked with that Holy Spirit, we now have the Holy Spirit and we're gifted the faith, right? Mm-hmm. You know what I'm saying? That faith should be evident, you know? Yeah. It shouldn't just be the simple, I believe in God. You know, it should be shown in our fruits, and that should lead to the convictional living you're talking 100%. About.
Yeah, that's super helpful. That's a really good way to recenter what we're talking about, because like I jump on here talking about we need to be influences, but you're talking about you can't be an influence if you haven't been converted.
Ooh,
because even the demons believe, you know, the demons believe in God.
Yeah,
but the demons aren't out there being a good influence for Christ. And so that we need to have true
not at all, bro.
Right. So you have to be converted from your sins. That's really helpful. We're talking about there's nothing you can do to get to God. God's gift is a grace to us. Ephesians 2:8-10 talks about how it's a free gift, not a result of work, so no man can boast. So you're totally right talking about conversion, because we have to be converted, and that's super helpful, bro.
Yeah, no, that's fire. And so, like, one thing that I really enjoyed about the whole conversation is just the fact of, like, because I know for, like, me and Wally, and I think really any person, like, at work, like, anywhere you go, like, you're going to be around non-believers. Mm-hmm. And it's, like, no matter what, a non-believer is going to be in some type of deep sin that God has taken us away from, you know, like, through a sanctification process. And obviously, there's always going to be sin there, even for believers, that we still struggle with, that we still fight with, right? But there's certain things, I think, that we get pulled away from. And so it's, like, even, like, every non-believer that you come across, right, is going to have that sort of, and I think even to the point, because we were talking about that, like, to your exact point of, like, the non-believer, it's, like, even being an influence to someone who thinks, right, because I go to church on Sunday, how are you influential to where they actually sit back? Because that's a conversation I actually had this morning with Jaden, because he was, like, you know, I wasn't, like, I believe Jaden's converted now, but when he came into the church, he was sharing to me about that, and about how he was being asked questions. I think that's where we should go next, is like, how do I start becoming an influential evangelist but also not become aggressive? And like, a big thing that I've been taught is you just ask questions, and I've even been taught write down the questions beforehand so that you already kind of know where to go with it. But that is something that, that Jaden was saying, was like they kept asking him questions and he would lie at the church to them, but he would go home. He would go home and he's like, I couldn't lie to myself. And I'd be at home like, that wasn't true what I just said. And then he starts being like, you know, that's when the he's like, am I truly saved? Like, do I really have Christ? And so it's like even being like, so people at the Grove are being an influence to someone who thought they were saved but weren't, right? Just by the way that they pursued after, like, they truly cared for those people's souls. So I think to your point, as far as like then even the non-converted, it's like, you know, even being an influence to them as well, you know. But I'd say, too, I like you to go into the, because I'm probably sure you're well-versed in that as far as what questions to ask and kind of how to go about it.
Yeah, no, for sure.
Yeah, that gets into, so we talk about convictional living.
Yeah.
The importance of first living by conviction. And then we talk about winsomeness. It's like that second part of the equation. So convictional living plus plus winsomeness equals influence. So now you're talking about that winsomeness part. Because we're lights out there, but influence doesn't mean we're just like being different from other people. That's a part of it. So yeah, I mean, winsomeness is what we're talking about. Once we have these convictions, we're not going to do this, I'm not going to say this, I'm not going to that place with those people. Once you have those convictions, you always live by those. And now you have this big box that you've made. I'm not going outside of this box. And now in the winsomeness category, you have all the space to move in terms of, I can relate to people by talking about this, or I can connect with people like this, or we can have fun doing these kinds of things. You have all of this area right here where you're able to relate with people and connect with people in a way that's normal for them. And there's just all sorts of different people out there. So it's like, people aren't robots, you know, it's individual people that you connect with and you find ways to relate to them and be winsome. But then you're talking about evangelism here.
Define winsome, because I don't think we did that, and people may not know what that is.
I don't even think I have a real definition for winsome. It's like, it's what we're talking about. It's not being the type of person people like to be around. So when I was teaching, we made a little bit of a list. Like, we just said things you don't like about people and things you do like about people. And on the list, it was things like people that smell bad, people that complain.
Stank.
Yeah.
That stank, boy.
People that complain all the time, or people who just are kind of all over the place. They're kind of scattered, you know, like they're not really put together.
Bro, Grove really doesn't like smelly people, because I heard that at my group, and then another group was the first to say it, and then someone later that night was like, bro, that's something Riley said at the house before they even did the message, bro.
So winsome is not those things.
Right, yeah.
People you like to be around.
Exactly. Okay. That's the easiest way to put it. It's people you like to be around. And so we're called to be an influence for Christ. And so if we're going to be influential and we're winning people over, then that means we got to be in the category, not in the bad category of smelling bad and all those types of things. And obviously it's much bigger than that. But I think the point that I was trying to make with that winsomeness thing is that it's really like about everything you do. When God saves someone from their sins, their life is converted, everything is different, bro. Like the way that they talk is different. When they complain, the amount of joy that they have, or showing up on time or being late, you know, like all these things, like being a good friend, like listening to people, asking questions, you know, things like that. If we're going to be influential, we got to be as people, you know, we got to be relatable. So we're moving from that bad category into that good category. And that goes into like the way we talk with people. And we're not going to do these certain things in the convictions. We're not going there. I'm not talking about that. I'm not going to say that word. I'm not going to be involved in gossip or slander, people working around the office or whatever.
Right.
But now we're on this winsome. We have this box now we've made, not going outside of it, but we're able to operate and we're able to interact with people and be winsome for Christ.
That's fire. Yeah, and so really bringing it to evangelism, I think that's like really, so discipleship and evangelism is like, right, that's really why we're trying to be influential, is like we are trying to, because we care about people's souls, right? Like that's really, because dude, we're saved out of our wretchedness. Like I can speak for all three of us, actually. We're, you know, we all fall short of the glory of God. We are all evil, right? You compare God to the three of us, like we're, you know, I always like to say like, yeah, I'm not as bad as Hitler, right? But I'm still way closer. He hates it. I'm still way closer to Hitler than I am to God. Way closer, dude. Yeah. You know, so it's like when I go to judge someone, I had this problem literally like 2 weeks ago. I was like I was pissed. I actually told you about this.
Was it me?
No, dude. Nah, bro. Good. Riley, bro, I love you, bro. You're my prayers of like blessings. But that was like really what came to me was like, we're all on the same playing field. So it's like, you know, knowing that I'm saved strictly by the grace of God, it's like I want other people, because I am no different from them in whatever sin they have. It might be a different sin, but at the end of the day, we're all sinners. Like, we, none of us deserve this, you know? And so it's like, I think the point of the influence isn't just so like, it's right, like, we know it's obviously not so that like we look good. It's so that we can then, you know, proclaim the gospel to somebody who's like, I'll actually listen to this guy. Like, I'll actually, you know, like, I actually want to hear what he has to say. And so I think that, because, right, I believe that's really what we're trying to do with the influence, you know, or at least planting seeds, right? Even if we're not the ones to water the seeds, at least planting the seeds that the person walks away and they're like, okay, that's what, right, that's what maybe a person who's saved by Christ, somebody who's holy, that's what it kind of looks like, right? Like, it does look different, you know what I mean, from the rest of the world, like you say, a light. But then also they're like, we're still able to have fun, you know what I mean? That's what I love about Winston. Like, dude, even so, we went to a retreat, bro, and I'm Mr. like cool Chris, you know what I mean? So I was like bro, like, I even talked to Raheem, bro. I was like, I can either like lock in, like really just open up to this, bro, or I could fight it all weekend and be miserable. Opened up to it and loved it, bro. Like, it was so, bro, it literally ended up being so much fun. I felt like a little kid out there, dude. You know what I mean? Like, coming back home, I was like, bro, I gotta be a grown man again. You know what I mean? Yeah. But no, so it's like, we still, and it's like, we still have fun, you know what I mean? But it's just in like a, dude, like a way more beautiful, pure way. Fun in worship, bro. I used to hate singing, bro. We were singing yesterday. I was like, I love this.
You would never sing, bro.
Never.
You stand, dude, because
Riley would literally stare at me, bro, from the stage, dude. Bro, and you want to know what got me? Because I did it one time before that, but you went to the man event, and you're like, I know there's people who don't sing. Bro, and I was like, he's calling me out right now. Oh, bro, and I've seen, but literally, I was convicted about it, and I've literally, like, started singing at every time, like, y'all are singing, I'm like, bro, I'm, like, I love God. I don't care, like, fear of man is stupid. That's way off topic, but anyway, bro, that's lit, dude. Because you literally stare at me, bro, and I'm like, bro, I should start singing, and then I just wouldn't, dude. Yeah. But no, so I think, like, yeah, definitely, like, I don't know, how do we use that as a step into evangelism and a step into discipleship? And, like, because that's, like, that's the puncher, you know what I mean? Just standing around and, like, you know, not, like, getting involved, like, that's important. But also, like, the end goal is that closing line, you know what I mean? Yeah. Bringing about the gospel, I think, for a lot of people is, that's the struggle, you know what I mean? Because I think what's easy, because I've done it, is, like, talked about God but never truly proclaimed the gospel to somebody. You know, like, I have an easy time just being like, I love the Lord, I love going to church, like, I love my prayer time, I love reading scripture. I can do that all day with anybody, because nobody's going to be offended by that, because they're gonna be like, oh, that's just what this guy does, you know what I mean? But like, truly saying, like, telling someone, like, in a winsome, convictional, living way, dude, you're going to hell, which you obviously don't say that, but like, saying, like, trying to say that and say, dude, you have a savior. Jesus Christ died on a cross for you, you know? So.
Yeah, you'll be amazed. Like, that was a story I was talking about in the military. I'm in the National Guard. And so just interact with a lot of people in the infantry too. So it's people, just normal, worldly people.
Some savages.
Yeah,
savages. Yeah, bro, my brother's savages. Infantry.
So, yeah, people are talking about crazy stuff all the time. And you'll really be amazed when people can see that you're different and set apart, because you don't talk like them and you don't act like them. They can see that you're set apart, and then they'll ask you questions about it. And, like, even the way they ask you questions, bro, you don't got to answer, like, no, I'm not. I would never do that, because God says you can't do that, and Jesus died for those sins, and that's what, you're going to go to hell. You know, like, you don't talk like that. You just try to be relatable. You're being winsome. You'll be amazed when people know that you are different, and they also know that you care for them on the other hand. Like you're being relatable to them.
Right.
You'll be amazed at, like, the crazy things you can say to people, and they'll like, listen to it, bro. They'll come back for more. That's the source on. People ask me, like, oh, you're going to, yeah, when we get out of the field, you're going to come to the strip club with us? They're just asking everybody. I wasn't even with them. I was, like, off doing my own thing, and they kind of called across me, like, Geb, you're going to come to the strip club? And I was like, nah. And they keep on me, what? Why not? And I could have said, like, oh, you know, Jesus says that anyone who lusts after a woman is already committed adultery with her. I could have said that, but, like, these people don't know what I'm talking about. You know,
right.
What?
Yep.
And so I think my answer was more like, yeah, I mean, that's I mean, you think about even from a worldly, they said, is it religious? And I was like, well, kind of. But even if you think about it from a worldly perspective, strip clubs are just gross, man.
Yeah.
They're dirty. Yeah. They're gross. You're paying some old, overweight, gross place. You're paying these people to get a sexual pleasure out of it. That's just corny, bro.
It's Brad, bro.
And they're all kind of laughing. They're like, no, like, it's just funny. And we were all laughing and joking around. It was kind of all in good fun. And like, there was three different dudes that came up to me after that conversation and were like, yeah, like obviously we were kind of like making fun of you a little bit, right, but like, yeah. I really respect you for saying that.
Yeah.
And this one dude said, he's like, then they asked me about if I'm a virgin, and I could have said, no, that's personal. But I said, yeah, I'm a virgin. Like,
yeah.
And this dude came up to me. He's like, yeah. He's like, you know, I've already had sex before. Like, what's the point in waiting anymore? I know it's wrong, but what's the point of waiting anymore?
Dang.
And so it was just a gospel conversation on a platter. Dude. And even though I'm not like him, yeah. I'm totally different from him. I was able to relate to him in a way and be winsome towards him. So that way he came back later and wanted to talk more. And we talked all night, man. We talked for hours. And really good conversations come from that. It's just crazy. Like, when you
follow the equation, bro.
Yeah,
you follow the equation, dude. Yeah, bro. Dude, it comes out.
Yeah. Like clockwork.
That's fire, yeah, bro. So, yeah, dude. So basically the takeaway is that you're not going to really have to have, that is not going to be like a forced conversation. It's going to be, if I'm living that way, if I am influential, it's going to, God's going to bring it in a way where then I can, they're asking me, they're curious to me. That is really good, bro. Yeah. I love that.
I mean, if it's someone you're around a lot, those people I work with, you know,
yeah.
I see them every month.
Yeah, yeah.
So when there's people you're around a lot, it's kind of like a long game, you know?
Right.
But like today with that dude, I met a dude, David, today, super cool dude at the Jiffy Lube. We just talked up a little bit and talked a little bit about church and religion. And I'll probably never see him again. Maybe I'll go back there on purpose to see him again.
Right.
But I'll just ask him a couple questions, you know, because I'm never going to see him again.
Yeah.
And so those conversations, if it's somebody at a cash register, maybe it's somebody you run into, like, I don't know, out and about, whatever, you can kind of, it's like the one conversation, yeah. You know, it's like, hey man, like, what do you think about God? Like, do you know where you're gonna go when you die? You can have those really forward conversations. But when people you're around, like, you're working with people, you
yeah
know?
You're always there.
You're not gonna like walk in one day and just be like, do you know where you're gonna go when you die? Like, it
hold takes, a meeting it hold takes a meeting get the whole company in there. Yeah, dude. Yeah, that'd be some dedication though, bro. You get fired on the spot, bro.
Yeah. I mean, that's not the worst way to go about it. I mean,
yeah.
There's worse things you can do for God than preach the gospel boldly. But
there's better ways that might be more efficient as well.
Yeah, exactly.
Dude, that's crazy that you have that picture. I just seen it. That's the one you threw on the phone, bro. His baby's throwing up foes. Yes, sir.
Little Rivel.
Yeah, but no, that's cool. And I think that's good as far as explaining when it is, because if it is that random dude that you'll never see again, you can have that, bro. Perfect, dude. I love that. And then what were some of the, so though you did mention then some of the questions, right, that you could ask that would provoke thought, and how did the conversation go, you'd say?
Yeah, there's probably three or four dudes that I spent a good amount of time with talking or having interactions with, and obviously they were all different, but some people kept coming back for more.
Yeah.
And like, it's like friends. Like, we're like having normal, it's not like every time we talk, we're like having these crazy interactions. It's like,
right,
we're talking about normal stuff.
Yeah.
And then he'll say something.
Y'all live
like,
with each other, right? Because you go to the trainings and stuff, right?
Yeah.
You're there for a long time with each other.
Well, yeah. We're on the field for 15 days. So, like, when you don't have your phones, you don't have showers, you don't have, like, hot food, like, it brings you together.
Perfect evangelism opportunity, bro. Yeah. Yeah. Let the Lord cook. Yeah.
So, yeah, some of those conversations were me kind of pressing in, and like some dudes that they won't like bring up a conversation, but you can bring it up because like they respect you, you guys get along, right. And you can bring it up and like they'll keep being your friend, you know, they'll keep staying around. Some people will like literally like ask questions like, what do you think about this? Like, I heard someone say this one time, or I was in a church that acted like this. What do you think about that? And all those conversations are different, but
yeah,
however they come about, if that's, that winsomeness shows when you have those conversations, those difficult conversations, and then people still want to be your friends and they still want to hear more of it. So,
yeah. No, I think it's so important because a lot of people, the impression they get of God is based on other people's actions. You know, it's based on the church's actions. It's based on what they've seen the couple times they may have stepped into a church building, or maybe they've seen a believer out in public, right? In the public, the believer maybe wasn't being winsome. You know what I'm saying? So it's like every time you get that opportunity, you have it's an opportunity, you know what I'm saying? You have the choice to be the winsome, God-fearing, God-loving man walking in truth, and that will help them to maybe be like, okay, they'll bring some hope. They'll be like, okay, maybe they're not all like this because I know Riley and he's like this. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
So you really, you're getting the chance to kind of, I don't want to say break those kind of mentalities, you know, because some people are so like dead set on hating the church and hating like Christians and church people, you know what I'm saying? Because they've been judged and they've been condemned and they felt like some pain and there's some trauma from those places, you know? So the more believers we have that are walking in that winsomeness, it's like that does a lot more than you think, you know what I mean?
Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah, and so just to go to the scriptures, so I think so, because for me, like, I always want something to be supported by the scripture, and so I think one thing that's, like, so very good about this is, like, obviously we're not in the law anymore, but we still have, like, what is this, Pastor Kurt, like, 1,200?
Oh, like, commands.
Commands, yeah. And so, like, what I really think this fits into is, like, because we're not, dude, because, like, in this right now, right, like, we're not giving definitively every time, like, this is how you go about it. And so what I would say, this is what the scripture I'm going to read for us to be like, okay, well, how do I go about it? And so it's, we're being led by the Spirit, right? Like, you not being led by the flesh, but being led by the Spirit, right? And so what that looks like, and I'm going to read it a lot right here, but it's fire. So it's Galatians 5, 16. And then, so this will go into what it looks like to start at the top.
13's real good.
All right, so Galatians 5, 13. We'll go all the way down to 26. For you were called to freedom, brothers. Only do not use your freedom as an opportunity for the flesh, but through love serve one another. Dude, you want to know what's crazy? Because I pick, like, this is off topic a little bit. But so I've been reading this, bro, literally every day. That's what I'm reading right now. Yeah, bro. So I'm reading this in, First Corinthians. I'm in First Corinthians. And then I'm reading Psalm 51. And it's just about a conviction I've been having and I'm trying to overcome. Been real angry towards people, which has not been good. And so, but this has been something that's, and bro, but that's, I missed out, bro, by not starting there, dude. Yeah, but anyways, so.
And you had it underlined.
And I had it underlined, bro. Dude, brother. Hey, praise the Lord, because this was divine. He knew this was going to happen. He knew that Ryan was going to be here and he was going to be like, hey, bro, 13. And now, bro. Got to study a little more. For you were called to freedom, brothers. Only do not use your freedom as an opportunity for the flesh, but through love serve one another. For the whole law is fulfilled in one word. You shall love your neighbor as yourself. But if you bite and devour one another, watch out that you are not consumed by one another. But I say, walk by the Spirit, and you will not gratify the desires of the flesh. For the desires of the flesh are against the Spirit, and the desires of the Spirit are against the flesh. For those who are opposed to each other, to keep you from doing the things you want to do. But if you are led by the Spirit, you are not under the law. Now the works of the flesh are evident: sexual immorality, impurity, sensuality, idolatry, sorcery, enmity, strife, jealousy, fits of anger, rivalries, dissensions, divisions, envy, drunkenness, orgies, and things like these. I warn you, as I warned you before, that those who do such things will not inherit the kingdom of God. But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control. Against such things there is no law. And those who belong to Christ Jesus have crucified the flesh with its passions and desires. If we live by the Spirit, let us also keep in step with the Spirit. Let us not become conceited, provoking one another, envying one another. And so I read this specifically, actually, just so it's like, what is, so we're obviously, we're not in the law anymore, so there isn't like we're not like, we don't wake up and like kill a cow or anything, but we still do have a way that we walk. And so it's like, what, like, definitely from the scripture, how could you tell me to be influential? And I think this is exactly what Riley is saying, right? It's like, by walking the fruit of the Spirit, which is love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. And right there, I think that mixes up winsomeness and convictional living.
Yeah.
right? Because you are still going to be patient with them. You're still going to be kind to them. You're going to be gentle with them. You're not going to be, like you said, in their face, like, you need to repent, you know what I mean? Like, right, going crazy. But at the same time, it's like, I have self-control, so I have that convictional living, you know, I'm loving, right? I think one thing we mistake with love sometimes is, like, that it's not telling the truth, right? Ooh. Just people-pleasing.
Righteousness is in there, too.
Love, joy, peace. Not in this one, but it's in the Bible, so we'll still go with it. yeah.
Dude, but the only way, it's like the verse we're talking about, that Romans 5:10.
Yeah.
Where the only way to walk in righteousness is to walk in the truth, right?
Yeah.
And so that verse is saying, few will die for righteous men, but many will die for a good man. Yeah. Ooh, right? And so we're not called to be the good man. We're called to be the righteous man. And that is calling them out, but in love. And I think that's what we're trying to get at right now, right? You know what I'm saying? Mm-hmm. It's like, how do we address that, I'm not gonna say they, because then we're putting ourselves on a pedestal or something, you know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
When we live in sin, you know what I'm saying, we need to be able to address that it's sin and also bring truth into it to show that the sin is not how we're called to live. You know, how we're called to live is what you just read, the fruits of the Spirit, you know what I mean?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I mean, this passage is awesome. Like, it's telling us what you can do and what you can't do. And right. I think that those verses 16 to down to 25 is about that convictional living. Mm-hmm. This is what you can't do. This is what you can do.
Right.
In verse 13 is like everything else. It's like everything else, we have all of this freedom. Now don't use that freedom for the flesh. And so those things got to be combined together.
Through love, serve one another. Exactly. That freedom to serve one another.
Exactly. That's that winsomeness.
Fire, bro. And so that's really what I wanted to get at. Was like, as far as where, like, this can be supported through scripture, because the first time I heard it, I was thinking about it, and I was like, but I didn't understand winsome either, because I had a very vague idea of it. But I looked it up, and then I started to get more, and it's actually been, every time you talk about it, it gets me a little bit more, a better understanding of it. Right, the first time I heard it, I was like, it could be misinterpreted, right? And so, like, winsome doesn't mean, like, fitting in, you know what I mean? Like, being, fitting in as far as, like, being just like everybody else, you know, which I think Riley did a good job of being very discreet about, or descriptive about, you know, the difference in those two things. And then I just love that it's like the benefit that comes from it is the questions that'll come through it, right? That people, right? That's a way that God can then really, you know, he does. He uses that to like send people your way to where you can be open up to these conversations. I think for a lot of people, I'd include myself in that. It's like, in discipleship, there's definitely a fear of man that's there, right? But it's like, if you came, like, you know how happy I would be? It's like the job just got a whole lot easier when you come to me with questions, you know what I mean? Like, mm-hmm. like it's like, I'm excited, bro, when that happens, you know? So it's like, I think this was a really good topic, and I think people listening, right, like, you can really take this about in your daily life so that you can also, right, start to have more evangelism type opportunities.
Yeah, I think it's so special too, bro, like, just God's perfect plan, because probably 2 weeks or so before I came to the event at your church where you ended up speaking, right, mm-hmm. I had, God had impressed this upon my heart, right, to walk in this intentionality of not blending in, you know what I mean? And I didn't even hear you speak. I didn't even get there in time to hear your message. But after Raheem told me what you talked about, and I was so excited, because I was like, bro, that's what I've been living. Like, I've been trying to walk this out, you know what I'm saying? So, like, what encouragement it is to hear this, because it's truly a choice, you know? And I saw the reality of this choice of, do I want to fit in or do I want to stand out? A few weeks ago, when I went out and hung out with, like, all my boys, you know, the dudes I grew up with, my best friends, I love them more than anything in the world, right? But I saw, like, what it looks like to live consumed by the world, right? So we go to the casino, you know, they drinking, they hanging out, having a good time. And I'm there, and, like, I was convicted by the way I was interacting, because I realized these people, they don't know Jesus, you know? But they know me, and they know I love Jesus, right?
Yeah.
And so I had to really sit there and think about my time and my interactions with them. Did I do a good job representing Jesus? You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Because at the end of the day, if they saw me, if we were together for probably like 4 hours, 6 hours, maybe, long time. if in 6 hours they didn't see one bit of Jesus, one righteous act, one truthful word, you know what I'm saying? If they didn't see anything different, they would have saw no point in choosing God. You know what I'm saying?
Right.
And that really hit me hard because I'm realizing, like, these are the people that, like, I truly love, you know what I'm saying? Like, consider them family. And to know that, like, I have this responsibility now. Not that it's, like, all on me, you know what I'm saying? But I do have the responsibility, you know what I'm saying, to walk in the winsomeness and the conviction of living, not just for me, but for others, you know what I'm saying? And that was just so, it was so deep to me. And now the fact that I'm getting to hear this and learn these things, bro, it's so powerful, dog. It's just literally, it's that divine intervention, bro. Praise God.
Yeah, I've got a few scriptures and then a couple questions, like, people will probably be asking, like, at the end of this. But, yeah, if anyone's interested in, like, writing stuff down, Matthew 5:14-16, Jesus says, "You are the salt of the earth, and you are the light of the world."
Bro, that's perfect, dude, because I was thinking about how it's a choice, right?
Right.
And I was thinking about that verse in Matthew when it's talking about you're called to be the light, right? And it was like a fool would light a lamp and then put under the lampstand or something. Right, yeah. Something along those lines.
Right, but let your good works shine before men.
Yeah, bro, so how selfish and how pointless would it be for me to know all this and learn all this, receive all this, and then just throw it under the lampstand?
Or not to live it.
Yeah,
just
bro.
Just to talk about it.
Just to talk about it or hear about it. You know what I'm saying? That we could take that back to James, bro. Hearers and doers of the word, bro.
Because
literally, like, if you don't understand that verse, think about it like this. If it was dark in your room, right, and you turn the lamp on, and then you throw a blanket over it, what is the point of the lamp, right?
There's no point.
There's no point. There's no light. And we've been given this beautiful lamp that we're called to walk proudly with it. You know what I'm saying? Be that, what is it, on top of the mountain, the city on top of the hill, burning that lamp, you know what I mean? Burning that fire, bro. That's what we've been called to be, dude. So it's really, dude, conviction, bro. I'm so grateful because this is like a convicting message. And I think those ones hit the most because it creates a change,
bro. You convicted Wally, bro.
Dude, for real, bro. That's lit. Bro, that's so good, though, bro. That's lit, bro. That's so good.
Yeah, no, it's lit. Bro, I need to that's so funny. We're trying to convict the world, bro. Like, everyone who's listening, bro.
Got myself.
Got you, bro. Bro, hey, praise the Lord, dude.
Bro, but conviction.
We all need it. We all
so
need
good.
It, bro.
Think about how many times I texted you this week.
Dude,
how I was convicted, bro.
Yeah, yeah.
So that's good because that's part of the maturity and the growth, bro.
Yeah,
so
no,
that's
bro.
Awesome,
praise
bro.
The Lord, bro.
It's the same word. It's convictional living.
Yeah.
We're living by conviction, so. Yeah, just in terms of this Bible, we got Matthew 5:14-16, Matthew 10:16, Jesus says, "Behold, I'm sending you out as sheep among wolves." Ooh. So believers are sheep. We're going out. I mean, he saved us out of the world, but he's also sending us back out into the world. So he says, you guys are sheep going out among wolves.
To the lions, Dan.
Yeah, so he says, so be innocent as doves and as shrewd as serpents.
Wow.
The word for innocent is that. That's how I built that equation, is convictional living, and shrewd as serpents is that winsomeness. In Acts, right here in 25, or no, at the end of 26, sorry, Paul's preaching before Agrippa. He said, "I could preach the gospel boldly that leads to death, or I could preach the gospel persuasively so I could still live." And that's in Philippians 1. It's interesting to hear him talk about that. But here he's
that
preaching.
That is nuts, bro.
Wait, say it one more time.
Yeah,
Yeah, so in Philippians 1.
I probably read it, but
here,
I remember.
You want to go to it? We can read it right now.
Yeah.
Yeah, so in chapter 1, he's writing Philippians from prison. Mm-hmm. And so he went out and he was preaching the gospel and people created a riot and the Jews arrested him. And so the Romans were the ones in the government and the Jews were just like the people group. The Jews told the Romans to arrest him because he started the riot. So the Romans are interrogating him. They're like, "What happened?" He's like, "I was just preaching the gospel." And they're like, "Oh, you weren't doing anything wrong. Like, we're going to let you go." And Paul said, "Actually, no, I'm a Roman citizen. So I'm going to appeal to Caesar." That was like one of their privileges they had. Like, they could appeal to Caesar. So they're like,
"Is that why that's when he goes to Rome?"
Yeah. Uh-huh. So
the boat crash?
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, literally, yeah. And so in Philippians 1, he's writing from prison, and he's saying, I could go before all of these leaders and before Caesar and preach the gospel boldly. I could, like, because it's faithful to stand there and say, if you don't believe in Jesus Christ and his suffering on the cross, then you're going to hell. That's true and that's right. That's bold. But he's also saying, I could also preach winsomely. So that's here in Philippians 1. He says in verse 21. He says, "For me to live is Christ."
Christ, to die is gain.
Yeah,
we love it. We love that, bro. We all love that. Yeah.
In verse 22, he says, "If I am to live in the flesh, that means fruitful labor for me. Yet which I shall choose, I cannot tell. I'm hard pressed between the two. My desire is to depart and be with Christ, for that is far better. But to remain in the flesh is more necessary on your account. Convinced of this, I know that I will remain and continue with you all for your progress and joy of the faith." So he's highlighting that right there. I can preach the gospel boldly and I can die, or I can preach the gospel winsomely and try to persuade people.
And the answer to the question would just be, what brings more glory to God?
Right.
Because if he did it, because like you said, if he did it boldly, it's still...
Yeah,
glory to God, but it's like you still need to be alive.
No, but what he's saying is like his work's not done yet.
Yeah, that's what I know. Yeah, so
it would almost be selfish of him.
So yeah, bring more glory to be influential in the, bro.
So Acts 26 is literally the story of Paul preaching the gospel. It's in 25, and then twice in 25, and then in 26, and here in the end of 26, he's preaching the gospel to this king, because you don't go straight to Caesar; you go up through the different authorities. And so in verse 27, he preaches this whole gospel to them. And then in verse 27, he asks King Agrippa, he says, "Do you believe the prophets? I know you believe." And Agrippa said to Paul, "In a short time, would you persuade me to be a Christian?" And Paul said, "Whether short or long, I would to God that not only you, but also all who hear me this day might become such as I am, except for these chains." That's what persuasion is right there. He's putting it on the line. He's preaching the gospel in a way that's winsome, that's not turning people away. So that's on the list in terms of verses about persuasion. You can go to 2 Corinthians 2, I think it's 14 to 17. It says that believers are a fragrant aroma of God. And to the unbelievers, they're an aroma from death to death. And so we're a fragrant aroma. And so I think aroma is probably a good word in terms of that winsomeness, is even just being around people, like even when they don't say it, like you know that someone's different, wow, the way that they act, because it's a pleasant aroma. And then, we could probably go to 20 different ones, yeah, but I don't have them all off the top of my head. But then 2 Corinthians 5 is really, really good in understanding, because then there's the two questions. The first one is, well, how do I know that I'm an influence for God? We talked about salvation, and obviously being converted, you can't be an influence for God, for Christ, if you're not in Christ. You have to be converted. So now if you're a believer and you're asking the question, well, how do I know that I'm an influence? 2 Corinthians 5 tells us, it tells us that we're all influences. I'll start in verse 18. He says, "All this is from God, who through Christ reconciled us to himself and gave us the ministry of reconciliation. That is, in Christ, God was reconciling the world to himself, not counting their trespasses against them, and entrusting to us the message of reconciliation. Therefore, we are ambassadors for Christ, God making his appeal through us. We implore you on behalf of Christ, be reconciled to God." And then just two verses down, chapter 6, verse 1 says, "working together with him." So this is a call for all believers. Everyone that's been converted is an influence for God. And everybody has influence. It just depends on whether you're being a godly influence or a bad influence. And so that's the answer to the question, is everybody's, if you're a believer, you're an influence for God.
Yeah, dude. It really locked in at the end there, bro. I feel like, bro, in God's sovereignty, he almost made you late on purpose so that you could, like
receive the fullness of this,
man. Yeah, bro, one-on-one, dude. Wow. Yeah.
Praise God, bro.
Like, he's good, dude.
Yeah. The other question people might ask is, well, what if I'm around believers who are acting a different way, who are like acting in sin?
Oh, yeah. Because,
like, we didn't really talk about that. We talked about when you go to work and you're around people.
Yeah.
And I think the important thing to understand is that's when you're around unbelievers, people who don't understand the gospel and who wouldn't be able to, like, have, like, a testimony of salvation or be able to articulate, able to say the gospel. Those people are unbelievers. But then you get around people in the church, and, like, if someone at church is acting goofy or talking a certain way or saying certain things or acting a certain way, that's not the time to like be winsome, you know.
Oh, that's when you pour it out. That's
yeah,
get the wrath,
right?
The wrath of Wally, bro.
Yeah. And oh, the dude, scriptures are really clear.
I let him have it.
Yeah, so 1 Corinthians 5:12 talks on this. It says, for what have I to do with judging outsiders? Yep. People outside the church.
This is what I'm reading, bro.
Yeah. That's influence. Outside the church, yeah, we're not judging people. Like, we know where we came from. We all, like, maybe I didn't do certain things or I didn't go to a certain level in terms of my own actions, but I know apart from God, I know the kind of person I was. I was angry. I was upset. Didn't get along. Like, it would be like, hey, take the trash out. It takes 2 minutes. And I'm having a bad attitude about it, not doing it.
Right.
And I'm like sneaking out and doing stuff. Like, I know apart from God, like, it looks different from person to person. Like you said, bro, we're all far, far, far away from Christ. And I know what I was like. No
really
purpose.
Close to Hitler.
Yeah. Yeah. And apart from Christ, like, I didn't have purpose or joy or meaning. And so when we're interacting with people who are unbelievers, there's no judgment there. It's like, no, I understand. So that's his point here in 1 Corinthians 5:12. For that's what funny. Have I to do with judging outsiders? Is it not those inside the church whom you are to judge? God judges those outside. Purge the evil person from among you. It's crazy. Like, people always say, like, oh, don't be judgmental. And that's true. Like, we're not ever judging someone.
Excommunicate them, boys.
Yeah.
Kick
in
them
the church,
out, bro.
We don't allow goofy stuff to happen. We have serious conversation with people who are believers.
Yeah.
Who claim to follow the Lord. If you're going to say that, then, all right, why is your life looking this way? What's going on?
Walking in high-handed sin.
And that's the righteous truth that is talking about Romans 5:10. Yeah. You know what I'm saying? We could even go Old Testament on them. You know what I'm saying? When they committed a sin, they had to go out the village for 5 days.
Bro, how would you even enforce that, dude?
Put a shot collar
call
on
the authorities,
dude.
Bro. Like,
yeah, or they
get
would
this
just
guy out the village, bro.
Or they would just kill them.
Yeah. Whoa, wait. Yeah. I don't know if we could do that.
Bookshot.
Bro, that's stories, bro.
Blast them.
Read.
Bro. Oh, Old Testament, yeah.
It's all in there.
You get murdered.
That was the severity.
We'd all be dead, though. There'd be no podcast if that was the case. Thank
me
you for
Wally,
Jesus, bro.
Yeah, me and Wally would be dead, bro. But, bro, because we weren't Jews, so he might have... Nah, Sodom and Gomorrah.
Oh.
Were they Jewish?
Oh, they were...
No.
Yeah, he's just whacking you.
Yeah, nah, bad stuff was happening back in the day. But that shows the severity of sin.
Yeah,
and
yeah.
Now we see all of this grace that God offers, that he doesn't kill us for our sin. Like,
yeah,
he would be right and good and fitting to drop us dead at any moment for the sins that we've committed. Yet the grace that he extends us in allowing us the opportunity to hear the gospel, for him to save us from our sins, is just amazing. That's why we don't judge anybody. Yeah. But now somebody that's been in Christ, when somebody says, I believe in Jesus Christ and his sacrifice, yet they continue sinning, Hebrews 10, 26 to 31, it says that the person that continues sinning is stomping on Jesus' blood. And he actually references the Old Testament. He says in the Old Testament, they would kill people for committing sin. Now that Jesus Christ actually came and died for those sins, when you sin, you are stomping on Jesus' sacrifice and disrespecting the blood of the covenant. And it's amazing the grace
he's
given
so
to us.
That's so convicting, bro.
Yeah, that's why we have the difficult conversations. And we're talking about being winsome and not walking away from bad conversation. That's with unbelievers. But when it's believers, when it's your brother, someone that you get along with and you have a good relationship with, like, that stuff cannot stand.
Yeah, we need to have a talk after this, Wally. I'm playing, bro.
Oh, no.
Yeah, Chris started singing again, so he's good.
Yeah, bro. Yeah,
Bro, dude. I'd rather him be singing than crying, bro. Chris always crying.
Bro, dude, stop saying that, bro.
Yeah, Chris, right before this, bro. I was
dude.
Out there.
Bro.
Chris called me last night, like.
Dude, they're going to think. They're going to think you're serious.
We're just playing. We're just playing.
Bro, he says it like once a week now, bro. Like every podcast, he's like, Chris should be calling me crying. Couldn't even talk. Couldn't breathe. He was crying so hard, bro. All
right. What time we at?
Bro, we've been going.
9:25.
We got 58 minutes. Perfect, bro. All
right. Who wants to pray out? Or any closing thoughts?
Actually, also, we got to shout the podcast real quick. So if you guys have any questions or any questions even for Riley, actually, just hit us in the DM. We have contact with Riley. We can definitely hit him up. If we don't have the answer, we can ask him and then send that answer back to you. Please get active in the DMs. Ask him for prayer requests. Do you guys have any prayer requests Instagram, 79 Cent Salvation. You'll see the logo, the red cross, or the gold cross with the red background. Yeah, definitely get active on there. That's actually, we set that up just so that you guys can communicate with us. If you're looking for a church, we can help you with that as well. We can lead you guys because being a part of the body is super important. Really, any needs that you guys have, definitely hit us up, because even if we don't have the answer, we can find the right answer for you. So please, like, hit us up on Instagram. If you guys enjoy the podcast, share it. You know, if it's helped you in your relationship with Christ, or helped you in your convictions, or anything like that, please share it. Continue to spread the word. You know, the real goal of this is obviously sharing the gospel, and then, you know, making warriors, bro, for Christ. And so, mm-hmm. please, you know, continue to spread the message. Yeah, I think that's the...
Yeah, I'll say thank you, too. You guys rock.
Bro, thank you for coming, bro. That was,
thanks for coming, bro.
That was awesome, dude.
Yeah, you guys, if you're listening, Chris and Wally are really good dudes. Chris works long hours. He comes to church on Sunday. He's probably there for 9 hours on Sunday with the people. And Wally, he's here cutting hair, preaching the gospel to clients.
Hold him hostage.
He was here. Yeah. He was here till 8 p.m. and now we're here recording this podcast because of his commitment. He's got a wife, he's got a baby girl who we're praying for. Keep Little River in your prayers, but he's got a lot going on. But these guys are committed to this podcast. You guys are doing a great work, so thanks for having me on.
Appreciate it, bro. Praise the Lord, dude. Yeah,
all right, who's praying?
I pray, bro, but I pray.
Do you want me to pray?
I can pray. I mean, I'll pray. All right. Actually, go outside.
Don't start,
go outside,
don't start crying or nothing.
Yeah, I hope I cry, actually, for the Lord, bro.
Do it.
And no fear, man.
Yeah, no fear, man. God, I thank you so much for giving us this opportunity to join together as brothers in Christ, and for helping us walk through the scriptures together and to... hopefully help somebody else in their own influence that they have in their life. I'm so grateful for this opportunity and that you allowed us to get us here safely so that we can have this. God, I truly pray for everybody who's listening, that their hearts would be softened, that their minds would be open to the message, that they would truly be intentional about listening, and God, that you could really, you know, get whatever it is across to them that you're trying to get to them, God. I'm so grateful that you use us as your stewards. I'm so grateful you use us as your servants, God. It's in your grace, it's in your mercy that we get to be used. We should have never had this opportunity, but by your grace and mercy, we get to have this opportunity. I'm grateful, God, for the relationship that I have with Riley, that you brought us together, and just all of the things that he's helped me through, and just truly the friendship that we get to have. Grateful for Wally as well, and just the fact that you gave us this podcast where we can do things like this. So grateful, God. I just pray for all those listening, for us as well, God, that as we walk this week, that we do try to be intentional about being influential, just to truly spread the gospel message, the gift that you've given us. Trying to help others also receive that same gift. We praise you and we thank you. Amen.
Amen.